Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, and this is the 1st of July, and I'm recording now at 10:38 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, it's been a lively market environment, at least for some of the markets, during the few days that I've been away, just a couple of market days, of course. And so let's see what's looks most interesting and significantly different here right now. First, taking the Asia-Pacific markets, well, China hasn't done much, but at least it's quietly steady. But Japan has continued to impress, and I think, as I said before I left in my last audio, I think last Thursday, or certainly during the earlier portion of last week, that the action really did dispel, in my opinion, in Japan, the talk of a top formation that some people were fearing. And it has been a sufficiently good rally to look really quite different and to really look like a latter stage lengthy consolidation of the huge gains that we saw last year in Japan. And also a support building process at higher levels. So we still like Japan a lot. I was also pleased and a little bit surprised to see India firming up. Okay, it's only up a 500 points, a little over 500 points after that test of the 25,000 level on the Sensex index. But that's still good action here overall, especially as I haven't had a chance to check too much in terms of the monsoon, but obviously we've had India's had a slow start to that monsoon season overall. And elsewhere, most of the other Asian markets were at least quietly steady overall. Europe had lagged, having led for much of the year up till now, and also had a very good performance during the fourth quarter of last year. Europe had been lagging for most of June, but we saw some decent upward dynamics in here today. And it's also occurring against the background of a short-term oversold condition. And also the downward move was rather gradual and orderly, so it looked more like a consolidation rather than a churning spillover that would indicate increasing supply. That was definitely not the case. And then moving on to Wall Street, well, it's been very impressive. And it was a little over a month ago that we were seeing some significant support levels under pressure. But that coincided with the big new tech shakeout that we saw. But overall, the market's been able to absorb that, and some of those new tech shares, well, most of them, all of them, probably are somewhat firmer. And in here today, for instance, the NASDAQ 100 index led Wall Street. It was up 1.14%. And we had solid gains on the other indices. Now, we also know that we have a short-term overbought condition. We've had that for much of the last few months. And we're also up near some psychologically interesting, or should I say challenging, levels, you know, with the Dow being only 44 points away from that round number. It's 17,000. The much more important level in all probability is 2,000 for the S&P 500 index, but that's up another 13 points in here today at 1,973. So only 27 points away from testing that 2,000 level. But the most important thing I could say is that while we all experience a wall of worry, looking around and just wanting to be alert. What's going wrong? What doesn't look right? I've got to say that Wall Street has corrected or improved on a lot of previous concerns where we might have seen some loss of upside momentum. I'd also been looking for a somewhat choppier market environment here in 2014. Well, we certainly had that in the first month, and some markets, notably Japan, have been quite choppy and volatile, but Wall Street has just been moving step by step, just gradually higher in here since January, and that's still impressive action overall. And last but not least, the improvement in the mining shares that we're starting to see. And this is something that Owen and I have often talked about and that we would always expect to see in a late stage of the bull market cycle. And we are seeing a firmer tone. Have a look at what happened with the BlackRock World Mining Trust. It was actually up 4% today, and Owen's got some good coverage on that and key big mining shares in the field. And they still look like attractive recovery candidates at this stage. So while, sure, we know we've had a bull market going on here for over 5 years, and we also know that valuations have moved up, not excessively, or where they have moved up excessively, we also have seen excessive corrections. And yet the market as a whole is still steady, and there's been no clear evidence of a breakdown of the broader markets. Indeed, it's been remarkable how well they've held near the 200-day moving averages overall. I would just add one note of caution here. In addition to some of the mild comments that I've already made, and that is that the higher markets move in this phase, and the higher valuations actually go, the obvious point would be that eventually leads to a significant shakeout, not necessarily a bear market. But I don't see scope for a bear market here on the scene in terms of the way it looks now. I think what the action that we've seen over the last couple of months suggests that the bull market has consolidated and reaffirmed support levels and is pushing ahead again. Now, how long will that go on? When we know that when actually it's not all that difficult to make money, in fact, with some of these share positions, it's quite easy to make money, that doesn't go on in perpetuity. Well, nothing does. But this is an environment where, yes, we want to stay alert. Yes, we want to be concerned about some of the signs of overvaluations, but one doesn't want to be selling too soon. We don't want to be selling as value investors first start to highlight some increases in valuations that begin to concern them. This market is still. These uptrends are still in motion. It means that we aren't seeing any clear evidence of top formation. Okay, let's move on to what else do we see. Well, we've got this remarkable environment of these low long-term government bond rates. While those persist, that's a favorable tailwind, and I think that investors can see that this has more to do with monetary policy than deflation fears. And I think that deflation concerns have been very much on people's minds over the last few years. That's understandable given all the deleveraging that had actually occurred following the credit crisis slump, and which set up the slow recovery, which is something I've been pointing out all along. But again, the very low government bond yields that we actually see are another favorable factor for equities generally, and maybe we don't get a really significant shakeout on Wall Street and some of these other markets until we see those bond yields eventually push higher on the possibility of inflation concerns, but that is not an immediate factor, to put it plainly and obviously here. Okay, currencies. This is also interesting. Here, the U.S. dollar has weakened a bit. I'm sure that the Fed is very happy to have that dollar somewhat softer, as they have been really for quite some time. That's pushed sterling higher, currently 1.715 here against the greenback. Now, with house price concerns and the UK economy doing pretty well, I don't think that the central bank is going to be too worried about the strength of sterling at this stage. And the euro again is not doing too badly here against the US dollar, 1.3679. Aussie dollar quietly steady in here. I don't see any significant currency problem here on the immediate horizon, but the hard money currencies also have come back into form a little bit more. Gold is overall steady at $1,326, and we've got palladium up here very strong at $854, and platinum, which I was pleased to see up. We've seen a breakout of a fairly broad trading range here, and it's certainly a trading range that can support higher levels over the medium term. And platinum is up $32 as I speak at $1,515. And silver a little quieter. Silver pushed up to 21.27 here at one stage today before pulling back, but still steady in its trading range, which has a gradual upward bias. And as I speak, it's trading at 21.075. Sharp drop in corn, soybeans, and wheat, partly due to the backwardations that were in those crops, but also reports from the U.S. Government agencies that holdover stocks were higher than previously anticipated, and that the crops seem to be doing okay here so far. So that's a good sign. That will help to keep inflation in check for a little bit while longer here. And while I was talking about the precious metals, did I mention the industrial metals? I know I certainly mentioned some industrial metal shares, but industrial metals are also pushing up out of there, if not up out of there, sideways trading ranges, which have always looked like bases, and they're at least testing the upper side of those patterns, and that's a favorable sign in terms of further opportunities in that sector. And last, excuse me, that cough. Last but not least, a factor that is obviously helping stock markets here at the moment is that over the, well, about a fortnight ago, we had some real concern over oil prices due to the wars that were going on in Iraq. Well, Brent crude got up close to $116, and on a closing level, I think it got up over $115, and that was certainly a concern. Well, I don't think we can fully discount the risk of higher, somewhat higher prices over the medium term. Certainly, if that Iraqi situation deteriorates. But so far, the good news is that we have not seen any significant disruption to oil production within the region. And so we've seen Brent crude come back down to $112 here today. Now, I have felt and said previously that the U.S. could ease tensions there, and perhaps they have, although I'm not aware of it, by reducing some supply from the stockpiles that were built up in the U.S. when the country was far from nearly self-sufficient in energy as it is currently, thanks to fracking. So the U.S. could could release some more oil. The Saudis could also release some more oil if they wanted to, but I don't think they do. I think this is, for them, it's a case of if I can mix metaphors here between oil and agricultural commodities, make hay while the sun shines here, and keep the oil price firm while they can, because over the longer term it'll be very difficult as more fracking occurs and also as more advancements occur in solar and other renewable supplies of energy, and probably even and hopefully even some additional nuclear power around the globe. But get back to the here and now. The fact that Brent has come back down to 112 has taken away, or it's taken one worry, a big worry that was center stage at the beginning of last week and the week before, and the week before that, and it's pushed it off at least to the side of the stage overall. And long may that last. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.